Willie and D-Mace, ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan, Derek Mason here with you at St. Thomas Sports Park. Practice is over between the Titans and the Seahawks. They'll be back at it again tomorrow morning here at St. Thomas Sports Park. Thanks to Jarvis Brownlee Jr. for joining us in the previous segment. And now joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, our friend Tim Hasselbeck. And Tim, right before the break, the news broke out of Minnesota that J.J. McCarthy is done for the year after undergoing knee surgery. I know the expectation was at least a start for Sam Darnold to be the starting quarterback. Clearly now he is the unquestioned starter in Minnesota. What are your initial thoughts on J.J. McCarthy being done for the year before his rookie season can really start?
Yeah, it's brutal because, you know, he was drafted as a guy that had a lot of experience. You know, he played a lot of football at the college level. You know, I think was viewed as kind of a ready-made prospect, you know, played in big games, had been coached well and all of that. And so that's just, I think, you know, and also I guess I would just add that there was, you know, initial good marks, you know, on him throughout training camp. So that's a really tough loss for Minnesota. And I think for Kevin O'Connell, who, you know, had to piece things together at quarterback a year ago, what it looks like with Sam Darnold is certainly going to be interesting this upcoming season.
Tim, now that we've had one Titans preseason game in the books, a win against the 49ers last weekend, from what you were able to glean from that game, who stood out, what stood out about the Titans in their preseason opener against San Francisco last weekend?
You know, I always feel like anytime there's a change in coaching staffs and change in scheme, terminology, all of those things, you know, I'm always just a little bit curious of, like, of what it looks like. So I think my big takeaway from the preseason game was I really didn't think that they it didn't appear new, I guess is maybe the best way I can describe it. I think sometimes when I watch teams that have had a change in coaching staff, terminology, those types of things, it feels very basic. It feels very new. It feels in some ways kind of, you know, robotic from a standpoint of, you almost feel like you can see guys like thinking things through. So I think that was actually probably one of the more encouraging things, you know, from watching the preseason game and just in terms of feeling like guys, for the most part, seemed relatively comfortable. And I would say, like, I think generally speaking throughout the preseason this year, I think things have been very vanilla, you know, through the first, you know, I guess through the first week, really for everybody in terms of stuff that we've seen. You know, some years it seems like some teams defensively are bringing a lot, you know, or maybe some teams decide to play starters for longer. I felt like it was a pretty generic week one preseason.
To that point, Tim, we're out here at joint practices between the Titans and Seahawks. This is where the starters from both teams are getting their reps. They're not playing in the preseason. Many of them are not playing in the preseason. The league seems to be moving in that direction where these joint practices have taken on greater importance. I mean, I don't want to say that the preseason is meaningless, because there are important reps that are happening out there for guys trying to make the team. But just how have you seen the preseason, the importance of the preseason, the impact of the preseason change over time in the NFL?
Yeah, I think it's been really tricky from a standpoint of, like, guys trying to make the roster. It hurts them. I think it hurts, you know, quarterbacks from the standpoint of, like, if you're not getting the work, especially if you're a young developing player. So I think how it started to evolve is, I don't know that it's great for, you know, the development of some guys, especially like at the quarterback position, for example. Now, I would say, like, that's, I think, one of the reasons, like, if you take, like, this past week, like, it's good for Mason Rudolph to get 17 attempts in a preseason game, because, look, he might go to week 10 until he's needed. So, you know, I think that's kind of an interesting, you know, dynamic that coaches have to navigate through, and understanding, like, look, it might be a really long time before this guy gets work again. How do we make sure, you know, that he's still prepared? But I also think that, when you go to the joint practice model, if you will, you just can control the situation. So much of what coaches want to get in a preseason game is, hey, can we get a two-minute drive at the end of a half? Well, you just don't know if that opportunity is going to present itself, whereas when you do it in a joint practice scenario, you can just dictate that it's going to happen. You can make sure that you get that work, and then doing it against an opponent other than yourself, I think is really beneficial. So I would actually agree with probably most coaches in that the joint practices are a better environment than even the preseason games.
We talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, let's stay with the theme, Tim, with the joint practices, because every team sort of approaches it in a different manner. It depends on what you are looking for in your team. Example, Titans, this is a young revamp. Now, I'm not going to say young, but this is a revamped team offensively, at the receiver position, the running back position. Then you look on the defensive side of the ball, their whole secondary, for the most part, is revamped and a relook secondary. So in your experience, how did you or your teammates approach these joint practices? Because some people look at them as, especially younger guys, they look at them as an opportunity to prove that they can play on this level without even playing in a preseason game. And some vets sort of take that same approach too, but it's more of a tune-up for them because they know they're not playing in the preseason games.
Hey, listen, my experience was, one play in the team, Jeremy Shockey gets cheap shotted, helmets are flying, guys are swinging at each other. That was my experience with joint practices, and we've seen some of that, throughout the league. The Giants and the Lions had a similar situation. And so, once you get past that, I think you're exactly right, D-Mace. Like, if you're a young player that's trying to make a team, like, it's a great opportunity to try to play well against a team that's going to get a really good look at you again, because just the opportunities are going to be greater than they are in a preseason game. And then I think for vets, even guys that are, proven players, it is an opportunity to compete against somebody that maybe you haven't gone against before, or you've watched, or now you get that chance. And I think that, most guys that are proven starters or Pro Bowl players or whatever, they're prideful too, right? And they want to make sure that they perform in an environment against somebody else's top player. So I think it does raise the level of intensity, because there are so many factors. And while they aren't the same, they all, I think, lead to, a guy not just going through the motions in a practice with his own team, but getting a chance to compete against other guys throughout the league.
Now, do you think there will ever be a day where they take these joint practices, and because they've taken away a preseason game, and they may even take away another preseason game depending on them adding another game or two to the regular season, do you see a point? Because we talked about this earlier. I think it might have been off air or on air, about televising, these joint practices and televising them as like they would televise a game, because they don't have an opportunity to have four preseason games. Or it may get to a point, Tim, as the preseason may be cut out to just two games, and then you have more of these joint practices. So do you think there would be ever a time where the NFL benefits or try to get some money or some type of compensation for putting these games on television so that the fans can see them?
Hey, man, I like where your head's at. Like, here's what I would say. We're in high school preseason right now. I was going to put it out there. I think Innsworth High School would love to host the Jamboree with the Titans, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, the Eagles. We have 14 Jamboree. Everybody gets a quarter to play against each other. It's not too much. It's like a supersized joint practice. And I just put it out there right now. We'll host. We got beautiful facilities, multiple fields. It's like, we can televise it if you want to televise it. We can We can live stream it on X if that's the best way to do it. Like, whatever we need to do, we'll do. But, like, I think you're right. Like, and honestly, like, it's funny. Like, as you were saying it, it's like, I actually think that is – that would be amazing because it's, like, it's not too much work for each team. Starters aren't playing more than a quarter anyway. Many of them just two drives. And you do it in an environment where it's like, yep, we got a bunch of teams here. Like, here we go. Let's do, like they do in high school football with a jamboree. I actually think it would crush it in terms of interest in preseason.
Well, the NFL is always about making that next dollar each and every year. So maybe when the new collective bargaining come up, that'll be something that they try to slip in regards to these joint practices, because we know eventually they're going to add another regular season game and maybe even two, and then I know they're going to be looking at subtracting another one of those preseason games. Now, as far as the league as a whole, what did you see in regards to the young quarterbacks? Jaden Daniels, you saw some bits of J.J. McCarthy, you saw Caleb Williams, all these young quarterbacks that are sort of teams are waiting to unveil during the regular season. How do you think they did?
You know, I actually thought it was a good debut for all of the guys. I really did. And, like, it's probably uneventful for Drake May. He just looked like he didn't really have a ton of opportunity or do all that much. But I think you start looking at everybody else, like Caleb Williams, like kind of his suddenness and explosiveness, like that was evident. I thought J.J. McCarthy's just physical ability actually showed up. It's one of the reasons that this, you know, recent news is really disappointing for Minnesota. Jaden Daniels, obviously, you know, has an explosive play in the passing game. That's certainly encouraging for Washington. But then also, there's so much talk about his ability as a runner. I thought that showed itself, you know, which ended up being really good for, you know, Washington, just in terms of, like, I think he seemed comfortable, and yet, like, that speed and explosiveness as a runner was definitely there. And, look, I actually think Bo Nix, you know, he kind of, I thought his first series, maybe his first two series, seemed a little nervous, a little antsy in the pocket, did have, like, a fumble, you know, quarterback-center exchange. But once he got to, I believe it was the second drive in the second quarter, I thought he played really good football, and I thought that the offense looked different than I was expecting a Sean Payton offense to look like. So I think you could easily say that, like, it was an encouraging situation for all of the quarterbacks that played and had rookie debuts.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on Willie and D. Mace. Tim, before we let you go, obviously at this time of year we're starting to make our predictions for which teams are going to win their divisions, make the playoffs, challenge for a Super Bowl. You know, a lot of the usual suspects near the top, Kansas City, Baltimore, etc. When you're looking at teams that could take a big step forward this year, and maybe a team that perhaps just made the playoffs last season, just missed the playoffs last season, a team that could rise as a dark horse contender in the NFL, which team comes to mind?
Well, I mean, Green Bay, and I don't know if they're enough of a dark horse, but, like, I think Green Bay is going to be really good. That's a tough division, but I think that that's a really good football team. I think Detroit's fantastic, and I think Green Bay is going to give them a run for their money. And I'll give you another one. I think the Atlanta Falcons. They got a lot of talent, and they're going to get much improved quarterback play in a division that I don't believe is super difficult. And so I think the Atlanta Falcons could end up being a team that, you know, while everyone's kind of getting ready for Michael Penix Jr., could have a quarterback that throws 30 touchdowns and, you know, fewer than 10 interceptions, up over 4,000 yards with the talent that he has around him. And that's going to make Atlanta hard to beat.
Yeah, that is an interesting choice. That NFC South division is really up for grabs. And now that Kirk Cousins is there, of course, with Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. They've got plenty of weapons there. Tim, of course, thank you so much for joining us here, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. See you guys.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck here on Willie and D-May, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Derek, we're the only people left out here.
Yes,
everybody's packing up and going home.
Not even a – well, the good part about it is that the groundsman – are not out here.
Not yet.
Not yet.
And as soon as you say that, a lawnmower is going to pull out here and idle right in front of our setup here. But, you know, maybe I'll go out there and run the 40. I don't think anybody would want to see that. But the nice, serene practice field here at St. Thomas Sports Park now, that practice over. We'll be back out here again tomorrow for the second day of joint practices. 615-737-1025. So we mentioned the news of the day in the NFL so far, at least. J.J. McCarthy done for the year. Rookie quarterback for the Vikings done for the year after undergoing knee surgery. And I've already seen a couple of texts on the text line. The bat signal is up. Could a former Titans player make his way back into the league as a result of this news? We'll get to that next. Adam Ving and Derek Mason, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.